Now, I know you know, brothers and sisters, we don't get good things by stubbing our toe on a lamp and rubbing it and hoping that a genie pops out. We know where good things come from, don't we? And James 1:17 makes it pretty clear. Every good and perfect gift is from where? From above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It's a cool story that we want to start a new series with this morning. And let me set the stage and then we'll read. The Lord's on his last journey, the last journey of his life, traveling toward his death. And he's taking a route along the border of Samaria and Galilee. It's not because he's lost and it's not by accident. There's some people he wants to meet. We get to read about him later. He wants to meet a woman by a well side who's been married several times. He wants to have a conversation with her. He wants to meet 10 lepers. And that's the story that we're going to look at today, because he has an encounter with them. You know, every society has its share of people that nobody want to touch. By the way, John, good to see you, brother. I meant to say that. John had heart surgery, open heart surgery, just two, 3 weeks ago, and there he is in church today. Let's hear it for John this morning, too. You see how my ADD just kicks in like that? It's amazing I ever get through a sermon. Every society has its share of people that nobody wants to touch, based on race, based on status, based on education, language. And this group of lepers, they were the untouchable people in Jesus' day. The disease of leprosy is mentioned 13 times in the New Testament. And there are various forms of leprosy. There are varying degrees. Today you might be familiar with Hansen's disease. That would be a form of leprosy. And these men in the Bible were living under the Levitical exclusion code. And it's pretty pointed. Leviticus 13, check this out, verse 42. If he has a reddish white sore on his bald head or forehead, it is a defiling disease breaking out on his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him. And if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white like a defiling skin disease, the man is diseased and is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean! Unclean! As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Wow. No cure, no medicine, no doctor. I mean, this is quarantining like none of us have ever quarantined. This is standing back and watching other people live their lives while you can't. You're just existing between being here and dying. Now, at the rare case that you could somehow recover from this, and it's possible, unlikely, but possible, you would go show yourself to the priest, and the priest would play the role of health inspector and determine whether or not you could then resume life with your family and life with society. Every leper longed for that outcome. And you've heard it said that misery loves company, right? So that's why we don't find this leper by himself. We find him with 9 others. There are 10 miserable people, and that's where we pick it up in Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, 1 out of 10, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I've been told since I was the size of a milk can growing up in church, you need to count your blessings. I mean, that was drilled into my head. Count your blessings. We sang songs about it. We were told about it all the time. But sometimes, you know what? You get in such a shape that you can't even find a blessing. And that's where these 10 men were. It's hard to count your blessings when all you can see is the circumstance that you're in. So in this series called Thanksgiving Leftovers, I want to discuss some healthy habits of thankful people. I would love for us to be the most thankful church in this country. Wouldn't that be awesome? And we can be. We could be the most grateful people that exist on earth. It's just going to take a decision on our part and some effort. That's what I want us to be. Now, I doubt that any of you have any interest in writing sermons, but if you did, and I've used this verse to teach some younger preachers, gosh, I hate to say that anymore. I used to be the one learning from the old guys. But I've used this verse to show how to build a sermon. I'm going to show you three healthy habits from one verse of this text that we read, and they're all right there in the verse. And here they are. Number one, healthy habit number one, thankful people open their eyes. It's right there in the verse. Luke 17, 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Just open your eyes. Well, we have excelled at the art of taking things for granted, haven't we? I don't know how many of you enjoyed the movie White Christmas. We got any White Christmas fans, the movie? I mean, we're getting close. Let's watch a little clip, and this will make us feel good as we jump into this.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. I fall asleep counting my blessings.
Now, I'm so young, I didn't know who those two people were. But that's Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney, so I had to ask somebody really old, and I'd like to thank you, Charlie, for that information. And if that doesn't work for you, if the White Christmas doesn't, then how about my favorite bear? Let's have a clip from him.
Look for the bear necessities, the simple bear necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bear necessities are Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bear necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you.
They'll come. That's good stuff. What's the name of that bear? Baloo. Baloo. You all don't know the Bible, but you know Baloo. I appreciate that. That reminded me of one of my favorite Forrest Gump quotes. When you go to the zoo and see the don't feed the bear sign, you feed them anyway. It wasn't the bears that put up in their signs. I don't know if any of you watched the Olympics this past summer. There were some cool stories, but there were some that almost made you ashamed. To be an American. This gal, though, made me proud. Her name is Sydney McLaughlin. She set a world record, won a gold medal in the women's 400-meter hurdles. She's a devout Christian and a proud American. And she not only did our nation proud as a representative in her sport, but man, what she said following her win, I think it did the Lord proud. Here's what Sydney McLaughlin said. I used to run for self-recognition. I don't anymore. I don't deserve anything. But by grace, through faith, Jesus has given me everything. Records come and go, but the glory of God is eternal. We are so blessed, she said, in so many ways, and yet often, we don't even see it. Thankful people open their eyes. That's what the leper did. He opened his eyes, and he saw that he was made whole. Thankful people open their eyes. It was one of those perspective-changing moments for me in my life when I visited a leper colony in central India. We asked if there were any more song requests because they loved singing in this little stone building and the acoustics were awesome. But you're talking about people who didn't have noses and their mouths were messed up. Some were missing eyes, limbs. But man, did they sing. And it got to me when I asked, is there any other song you want us to sing before we have to go? And this lady who had no nose, her ears were mostly gone, the disease had destroyed her lips, she lifted a fingerless hand in the air and had a song request. Guess what she asked for? Could we sing Count Your Many Blessings? I've never sung that song the same since. If you're not familiar with the words to that old hymn, here's what that dear lady with the mangled body in an impoverished land asked to sing. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Can I tell you an observation I've learned about people after all these years of serving in ministry? It appears to me the most difficult math is that which enables us to count our blessings. Did you sleep in a warm bed last night? Take a warm shower? Do you have some close relationships with people in this church? Have you had a good meal lately? Have you had a reason to smile in the last couple of days? Were you able to talk to somebody that you love? Open your eyes! Open your eyes. Open your eyes and see what God has done. So easy for us to get lost in our circumstances, isn't it? And in our priorities and in our gratitude. When did saying thank you take a hike in this country? I mean, for some of us, it's just easy to get lost, period. Fred Bryant absolutely hated his wife's cat. I can understand that. He decided to get rid of him one day. He drove 20 blocks from his house and left the cat in the park. As he's getting home, here comes the cat walking up the driveway. That's how they are. The next day, Fred decided, I'm going to drive him 40 blocks away. And he drove the cat 40 blocks away, and he kicked the critter out of the car and headed home, and he reached his driveway. You guessed it. There's the cat. Well, he kept taking him further and further, but the cat would always beat him home. So one day, he decided, that's it. He drove hundreds of miles away, drove out of town, through the desert, into the next state, till he reached what he thought was a safe distance, and let the cat out and headed back home. Hours later, Fred calls home to his wife, Jen, is the cat there? She said, yep. Why do you ask? Fred said, could you put him on the phone? I'm lost and I need directions. It's no secret that I've been a Cincinnati Reds fan since I was 5 years old. Is Cooper here? Cooper, you down? There you are, brother. Yes. I've been a Reds fan since I was old enough to listen to Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall on the radio. And our nemesis, our arch rival when I was a kid, was the Los Angeles Dodgers. Cooper's still in mourning, by the way. Ron Say, Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, Dusty Baker, those boys, and hated the Dodgers. Through the years, the most respected ball player to me was a Los Angeles Dodger. Can you tell me who this guy is right here? It's a young picture. That's Oral Hershiser. Man, could he pitch. Poetry in motion. He holds a major league record that probably will never be broken, just like Pete Rose's hit record will never be broken. Earl Hershiser pitched 59 straight innings without giving up a run. That was 1988. It'll never happen again, probably. He won the Cy Young, the MVP. But here's the deal. Between innings of that stretch of 59 innings that took several games, between innings he would wrap his arm, keep it warm, and he'd sit on the back of the dugout bench, and he would sing. And nobody knew what he was singing. And it became a topic. Well, he goes on Johnny Carson after winning the MVP, and Johnny Carson calls him on it and says, Oral, we see from the camera shot that you were singing in the dugout. Can you tell us what you were singing? Well, it made him uncomfortable. He's like, I'd rather not. Well, Johnny Carson wouldn't let up. Sing it for us. No, I don't think so. Come on, Oral. And there on national TV, the pitcher said, okay, if you want to hear it, here's what I sing between innings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Complete silence. Johnny Carson didn't know whether to spit or wind his watch. You ever heard that phrase? That means he was bumfuzzled, didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. So somebody in the audience stood up and started clapping, to which everybody else stood up and started clapping, to which Carson had to stand up and clap as well. Listen to what Hershiser said following that appearance on the Tonight Show. The only reason I'm a most valuable player is because I serve the most valuable God. Is that good or what? Almost makes me want to be a Dodger fan. Not quite, Cooper, but almost. The most difficult math is that which enables us to count our blessings. Let me tell you about another man. This is Robert Reed. Because of his cerebral palsy, he's been confined to a wheelchair his entire existence. Can't bathe himself, can't feed himself, can't brush his hair, his teeth. He graduated from college, felt the call of God to be a missionary to Portugal, learn a different language, and this man right here has led hundreds of people to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Robert Reed says, I have everything I need for joy in my life. The most difficult math is that which enables us to count our blessings. I love the way the Bible said this about the leper. When he saw that he was healed. So what is it that you've been taking for granted? What is it that you're not seeing? Your health? Your friends? Your job? Your family? Your church? Your God? There's so much to be thankful for. All you have to do is open your eyes and see it. Healthy habit number two, thankful people. It's right in the text. Thankful people take time to turn back. Luke 17:15, we read this. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. Man, does this describe the posture of a thankful person? Someone who turns back to say thank you? Where did common courtesy go in this country? Did it disappear the same time common sense did? Please and thank you and I appreciate you and you're so kind and just basic gratitude. I'm getting frustrated with drive-through windows in our town. And believe me, I visit a lot of them. I hit a drive-through just about every day. I'm getting so conditioned, I pulled up to my mailbox and placed an order the other day. But I'll tell you what's frustrating me. I can go to a drive-through window, I can order my food, and I can spend $8 or $9, and the person who opens the window to take my money, takes my money, gives me change, eventually gives me the food, and never says a word. Not a word. What happened to common courtesy? I don't need to be thanked, but how about just conversing? Makes me feel like I'm interrupting whatever else they're doing besides their job. How many lepers were there in this little colony? 10. How many came back to say thank you? 1. And according to Luke, there's something interesting about the man who came back. Luke 17:16, he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. The man was a Samaritan. So the other 9 were Jewish. The other Good Samaritan story that Jesus told, the 2 that passed by were Jewish. The one that helped was a Samaritan. So here's your Bible trivia for today, church. This leper is the other Good Samaritan. What's wrong with the home folk? I know how this happens because I've brought a friend home from college once and he couldn't stop thanking my mom enough, thanking her for her mashed potatoes, thanking her for the roast beef, thanking her for doing the dishes, thanking her for giving him a bit. I mean, over and over. And I realized at the end of the night, you know what? I never tell my mom thank you. Why does it take some stranger? to show me what I should be doing. Maybe you and I have inspired Willie Nelson's song, Little Things I Should Have Said and Done. I just never took the time. But you were always on my mind.
You were always on my mind.
That's not good enough, Willie. And that's not good enough, church. Thankful people take time to turn back. God loves to hear his children say thanks. He loved it when Mary poured perfume on his feet. He loved it when the widow, out of gratitude, gave all she had. And he loved it when this one leper comes back to say thank you. He even asked in verse 17, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? What do you parents do when your child receives a gift from someone? If I walked up to your kid, your little kid in the foyer, and you're standing there, and I give them a gift, you're going to say to that kid the same thing my parents said to me and all parents say to their little kids. You know what you're going to say? Now, what do you say? And you don't care if it's sincere or not. You just want them to say it. What do you say? I mean, this comes home in a real way. We would go eat. I don't know why we went there to eat. We could just go to visit. But we would go to my Aunt Opal's, who could not cook. And she looked just like Danny DeVito's mom from Throw Mama from the Train. That's Aunt Opal right there. Would you eat with that lady? And so we get done, and all of us have just choked down whatever it was. We ate, and my mom would say, Mark, I don't know why she picked on me. I had 3 brothers. Mark, what do you say to Aunt Opal for her Velveeta Spam Liver Lima Bean Casserole? Does she really want me to answer that? What do you mean, what do I say? Well, you don't want me to say what I'm thinking. Because I'm thinking, Aunt Opal, what in the name of heaven were you thinking? You shouldn't be allowed 50 yards near a kitchen. But that ain't what Mom wanted me to say. Whether I meant it or not, she wanted me to say what I said. Thank you, Aunt Opal. Thank you. Have you ever wondered why God set aside the first day of the week for worship? Or asked us to give first from all the things that he gives us? Not leftovers, but with gratitude, think of him first. Because he knows we'll forget. We always forget. Gratitude delayed is gratitude endangered. Man, Jesus asked a good question. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? I've met people in my life who have the uncanny ability to find a dark cloud in every silver lining. You ever meet someone like that? Always something to complain about. My mom has taken such good care of me and my brothers and my dad. She's gone above and beyond. She asked Dad how many eggs he wanted once, and he said 2. He said, I want 1 fried and 1 scrambled. How would you ladies react to your husband who said that? You'd be throwing eggs at him, wouldn't you? Well, not at my house. He got specific. I want 1 fried and 1 scrambled. Well, she brings him his eggs, and he's got 1 fried and 1 scrambled, but immediately he's unhappy. And she said, what's wrong? He said, you fried the wrong egg. Didn't they all receive the same healing? Can't all 10 now look at their hands and realize, man, I can use these hands now to work or to fish or to hold my kids? Can't they all look at their feet now and think the same thing that they all should be thinking, which is now I can run and skip and play and walk like a normal person? All 10, same blessing. Where are the other 9? Well, I figured out why they didn't turn back. This is not exactly a brilliant conclusion on my part. They didn't turn back because they were looking forward. And that doesn't sound like a bad thing. Sounds like a biblical thing. Philippians 3:13, forgetting what is behind me, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. It's biblical advice to not look back, to look forward. But listen to me, and I think this is appropriate since Patty's birthday is tomorrow. The only reason we're able to press on in some cases is because of what someone back behind us has done for us. Right? My parents helping me get through school. I need to tell them thanks more for that. Church people giving me a place to live. This church picking me up and praying for me and loving me at the most vulnerable time in my life. I need to say thank you. Karen, I need to say thank you to you. Thank you. Derek, I need to thank you. I do. Thank you. Dale, thank you. Scott, thank you. Mickey, thank you. Dan, thank you. Jeff, thank you. Mike, thank you. I need to say thank you. I need to look back and realize I wouldn't be in this place if it weren't for the people back there. And I can't just move on as if I'm entitled or as if I deserved it. I need to turn back and say thank you. That's what thankful people do. But we live in an entitlement society now, don't we? Entitlement, by the way, is the death of gratitude. Entitlement says, I don't have what I deserve. I deserve more. And gratitude says, I have what I don't deserve. Listen, it's time for some tough love. And you can find it here. So in the real world, I want to tell you this morning, in the real world, you don't get a participation trophy. In the real world, not everyone is a winner. In the real world, there are no safe places. In the real world, screaming doesn't make you right. In the real world, no one owes you anything. In the real world, crying doesn't solve problems. In the real world, nothing is free. In the real world, people are going to say things that you don't like and hurt your feelings. And in the real world, you are not special. Welcome to Hillcrest. Right? I don't deserve anything. I'm not entitled to anything. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Thankful people open their eyes. Thankful people take time to turn back. And I can wrap it up with this thought. Thankful people loudly praise God. Amen. There you go. Luke 17:15. Check this out. One of them, when he saw, that's the first habit, that he was healed, came back to Jesus, that's the second one, shouting, praise God. Now, I'm a loud person. Have you all noticed that? I've always been a loud person. I always figured I would be the best Bible salesman to deaf people. Because you know how you sell a Bible to a deaf person, Kathy? You want to buy a Bible? That's how you do it. But now listen to me, though. Loud is written all over this story. It is. Loud is written all over this story. What's the Leviticus verse? What are they supposed to shout? The leprous person who has the disease shall cry out, unclean, unclean. And by the way, leprosy affects the vocal cords too. So to shout it and to have the disease, it's a raspy, not a very pleasing shout. And then we read before we got to our text, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And then we get to our text, which was the verse that says, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. Now, I'll wrap this up. I can't imagine what it's like to be healed of leprosy, but we are familiar with the disease that makes us unclean, aren't we? It's called sin. And there was a time in my life when, if I wanted to be honest, I should have been shouting to the people who would come near me, better not, unclean, just steer clear. But then something happened, and I met Jesus, and I learned firsthand that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We don't throw off the rags of leprosy. We throw off the rags of sin and guilt and shame. And I'm telling you, one minute I was as lost as could be, and I faced an eternal hell, but then something happened. I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. No longer do I, like the leper, have to call out to Jesus from a distance, but I'm ushered into His presence, clothed with His righteousness, and it makes me want to shout, praise the Lord! Understand, it's not just that God has blessed other people. He's blessed you. You, wherever you're sitting this morning. I think sometimes our Eeyore-ish self leads us to believe that blessings only come to other people. I can't forget, my mom had some physical problems a few years ago and got called by a friend on the phone, and the lady said, hey, I understand you're having a tough time. And mom said, yeah, it's been a little tough. And she said, listen, I'm coming over, I'm going to clean your house, do the laundry, take out the trash, whatever you need. She said, I'm going to fix dinner for you and Bill tonight. Well, my dad's name ain't Bill. It's Logan. And so my mom said to the lady, who's Bill? My husband's name is Logan. And the lady said, oh, I must have dialed the wrong number. I'm sorry. Well, then there's a pause, and my mom says, so does that mean you're not coming? When's the last time you shouted because you were overjoyed with what God has done for you? I bet some of you have never shouted. You've come from the buttoned-up Church of Christ service where shouting appears to be too Pentecostal, too Nazarenish, too something. Well, we're going to fix that this morning. Anybody know what the last five chapters of the last five chapters of Psalm, anybody know the first three words of each of those chapters? It's not a trick question. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody know the last three words to each of those chapters, the last five chapters of Psalm? Praise the Lord. Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150 start with praise the Lord, end with praise the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get your Pentecostal self up this morning from that comfortable chair that you're clinging to, and we're going to do some shouting. But I need a cheerleader. I need help. Anytime I have us shout something, I can count on Charlie. So, Charlie, I want you to come and help me, okay? And Charlie's going to lead you in your praise the Lord portion of this. If he doesn't think you're doing a good job, you're going to have to deal with Charlie Scott. You don't want that. So make sure I'm going to give you some Thanksgiving statements, and then Charlie's going to lead you in a shout, praise the Lord, and you can't shout sitting down, so get yourself up, and let's, thankful people, loudly praise God. Everything we have and will ever have, we owe to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
Praise the Lord.
I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Praise the Lord.
God couldn't love you any more than he loves you right now. Our sin is no match for his grace. Our mess ups are no match for his mercy. Our failures are no match for his faithfulness. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Thankful people loudly praise God. Did you notice how excited Charlie was? He got ahead of the curve. That's because he's a thankful person. So while you're standing, let me close with this. This is Jan Grabiski, a Polish railway worker. Check this out. Went into a coma in 1988, woke up in 2007. This is incredible. And we need to hear what this man has to say. And here's what he said when he woke up from his coma and spent a little bit of time living again. When I went into a coma in 1988, he said, meat was rationed and there were long lines at the gas station. There was only tea and vinegar in the shops, but now people are on the street with cell phones and there are so many goods in the shops, I can't believe it's possible. But what puzzles me is that people are complaining more now than they did back then. These people have freedom and food and wealth more than any people in Poland have ever had. Why are they less content? Well, I can answer that, because the most difficult math is that which enables us to count our blessings. And do you know why it's so hard? Because nobody in this church can count that high. Amen.